Let's pray together. Lord, as we stand here in your presence and as we come to meditate on your word that you have given to us, we give you thanks that in this time as we explore our own temptations, our own tendencies to sin, and we cast ourselves upon your mercy, that we do that from a place of knowing your grace for us in Jesus Christ. We do that because you have transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness and into your glorious light. And from that place of rest and grace, give us the grace today to look at our sin, look at our temptation right in the face, and to overcome it as our Lord Jesus did. So Holy Spirit, be with us now as we look into your word and illuminate our hearts and minds that we might be formed more deeply in your grace and that we might glorify you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we've said, welcome to the season of Lent, this season of 40 days leading to the death and resurrection of Jesus, 40 days reflecting and framed by the 40 days of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness that we read about in Luke chapter 4 today. And so Lent is this season of wilderness, this season of coming to our temptations, coming to our sins, and giving them to Jesus. And for us as followers of Jesus to grow more and more in learning how to walk in the way of the cross. Lent is an invitation for us to walk in the way of the cross. The way of the cross is that life of repentance, of nailing our sins to the cross of Christ. It's a life of self-denial, picking up our cross daily and following after him. A life of humble faith and trust in his work on our behalf. The way of the cross is where we proclaim with Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." So as we explore this season, the way of the cross, the narrow path, as our parish book study talks about and leads us into with the Sermon on the Mount, we want to look at today how the way of the cross will always include temptation along the way. And it's a necessary part of following Jesus that we will endure, encounter, and by God's grace, overcome temptation. So would you look with me at Luke chapter 4? I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me as we explore this gospel text. This temptation narrative is in both Luke and Matthew in detail. Mark also includes it, but just one sentence, very general. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. Matthew and Luke both spell it out and go through these temptations of the devil specifically, but in slightly different orders. And there's reasons why we can get into it another time. But we read that the Holy Spirit brings Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days to fast and to be tempted by the devil. We see Jesus overcome these temptations. And now we know Jesus as the one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet is without sin. And so we who still remain in sin can even still learn to overcome temptation through the presence and through the example of Christ. So as Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days and experiences this temptation as he walks the way of the cross, this is our invitation to the same. As we are walking the way of the cross, when we overcome temptation, we look to him for our strength, for our example. And I just want to say before we get into this that, again, the way of the cross will always include temptation. This is really important for us as Jesus followers to understand. Because the way of Jesus, the life of picking up our cross daily to follow him, that narrow path of the Lord, will by necessity put us in the devil's crosshairs. And so we want to come to view these temptations in light of this narrow path, in light of this way of the cross. That these temptations for Jesus and the temptations that we encounter in our lives, they are only temptations because of how they are trying to undermine that way. Because of how they are trying to undermine that purpose. I'll come back to that point later. But I want to explore together, firstly, the tempter and his schemes, then the nature of temptation, and then we'll see how we can stand firm in the face of temptation as Jesus did. So let's look at our text and look at the tempter himself. Behind every temptation in our lives is a triad of forces that are trying to steer us away from the path of Jesus. That is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil, Satan, the accuser, tends to work through the world and through our sinful flesh, but at times will confront us directly, as he did to Jesus. And this spiritual warfare is a regular part of the Christian life. It's often observed in 21st century America that we don't often experience or see the demonic in our world today. Things like possessions and demonic activity. And so a lot of people will write off the devil and write off forces of evil as antiquated nonsense or as fairy tales, the things we don't need to believe anymore because we don't see it. But A, we do see it. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's not in the media. Maybe it's not flashy all the time. But the devil is real and active in our world today. And B, the world and the flesh are plenty effective for the devil to do his work in us. He often doesn't need to resort to possessions and direct manifestations of evil when so much of the world and our own flesh is doing his work for him. So we want to approach this knowing that temptations are real and knowing that there is a force behind temptations that are real and we must reckon with through the grace of Christ. So in Luke chapter 4, the devil meets Jesus in the wilderness during his fast, and they have this showdown. We are told of three principal temptations that were given to Jesus, and we can kind of distill these into three forms of temptation. These aren't meant to be exhaustive of every temptation that the devil threw at Jesus, every temptation that we might experience. We're not putting them all into buckets that cover an exhaustive list of temptations, but the three temptations that Jesus experienced from the devil were temptation to creature comforts, temptation to power, and temptation to presumption. So I want to go through these briefly. Firstly, the devil tries to get Jesus to distrust his Father's care and provision and to exalt the comforts of his flesh over his Father's purpose. He says to Jesus, "Turn this stone into bread. You're hungry. You've been fasting. You can fix it." Now, it's never been a temptation for you and I to turn stones into bread because we can't do that. It's not a temptation because for us, it's not possible. But Jesus could have done it in an instant. This is the one who's the creator. The devil knows this. This is the one who transformed water into wine. This is the one who multiplied bread and fish to feed thousands. Jesus could have done this. And surely his hunger was screaming at him to do it. And the temptation here is to undermine the belief in God's provision and in his love. And to try to rely on ourselves and our own resources to satisfy our flesh. And to give ourselves comfort by bypassing God's means of comfort. The temptation is to imagine that our comfort is of a higher priority than God's purposes for us. Now, even if you and I have never been tempted to turn stone into bread, I know that we have been tempted to exalt our comfort above God's purposes. So the temptation here is to shortcut God's work in us, the God's work that sometimes comes through suffering, through trials, through things like fasting. This is why fasting in particular is always an act of spiritual warfare. Fasting, which we want to encourage in this season of Lent, if you're able to, with food especially, fasting is one of those things that reminds us and trains us to say, I will not be a slave to my flesh. I will not be enslaved to this desire for comfort, but I will have mastery over it. That's what fasting is training us for. And that every time you feel those hunger pains, they can be a call to prayer for us. They can be a call and a reminder to cast ourselves upon the mercy of God. It helps us to walk in the way of the cross, denying ourselves so that we might follow his purposes. That's why our prayer is always, give us this day our daily bread, Lord. We look to you to provide and to give us all things. And Jesus quotes scripture back at the devil and says, man was not meant to live by bread alone. The implication that Luke spells out is, the rest of that verse is, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our comfort is not the most important thing, Jesus reminds us. The second temptation is that the devil then tries to persuade Jesus to grasp at earthly power by ungodly means. Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time and says, I will give you all this authority and their glory. If only you will worship me, it will all be yours. Now the devil knows, and Jesus knew, that this is his destiny. To rule over all of heaven and earth, this is what Jesus is aiming toward. To bring the kingdom of God to encompass all the whole earth, all of the universe under his authority and reign. And here, he's offered a shortcut to get there. But it would be bypassing the way of the cross. Taking the easy way that's held out to him by Satan to grasp hold of the end that God has for him. So the temptation is to worship Satan in order to achieve the ends that God desires, that Jesus desired. But it's a trap. Using Satan's means, using the world's means to achieve godly ends is always a trap from the evil one. Because if Jesus ruled over all the earth and there was perfect peace under his reign, but he was under the authority of Satan, then his kingdom could not be good. His kingdom could not be holy. It would not be a kingdom of heaven, but a kingdom of hell. And Jesus reminds the devil through scripture that you shall only worship God, and nothing is worth compromising on that core fact of our lives. The third temptation was to presumption of God. Putting God to the test by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple and expecting him to rescue. So presumption is not a word that we use very often these days, but at least in these terms. But presumption is demanding that God bend to my will in order that he prove something to me. Presumption is arrogant disregard for the sovereignty of God. It is saying, God, who can do all these things, must serve me and my purposes and my desires. It's a forgetfulness that he is God, and I'm not. You know, if I ask God to prove himself, prove that he was real by causing this podium to float up in the air, he can do it. Why wouldn't he do it? Do it right now to prove yourself. If I put that to him, I'm demanding that he bow to my will and do things in my way to prove my point. rather than seeking to submit myself to him. Now, we're told in Scripture, we're commanded in Scripture, that we should ask God for things. We should pray to him and ask him to move in power and to use his might to serve his purposes. But there's a big difference between us asking for gifts, asking for what he's told us is already within his will, within his character. There's a big difference between that and demanding that he perform a parlor trick to satisfy our curiosities. One is presumption. The other is childlike faith. And so Jesus responds, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Because here, the devil has been twisting Scripture to prove his point. He's quoting Psalm 91, which was our psalm today. That the angels will guard you. They will bear you up and not let you strike your foot against a stone. He's twisting Scripture to tempt Jesus in this way. And so Jesus quotes Scripture back to him. "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Because he's responding to the twisting of Scripture with an understanding of the bigger story of Scripture, that the Lord is holy, that he is God, and the only way for us to properly relate to him is to submit to his lordship and his sovereignty. That's why his prayer in the garden was, "Thy will be done. If it's your will, do this, but thy will be done." That's what someone who's walking in the way of the cross must pray, because he is God and we are not. So all three temptations here try to offer Jesus the glory of ruling, the satisfaction of comfort, and the sovereign reign over his life. They tried to offer Jesus to that without suffering and dying. They're all trying to bypass the way of the cross. But Jesus knew what path he was on. He knew what he had come for and what he was there to do. He was steadfast in his purpose and his identity, and he would not be deterred off that narrow path of the cross. Satan, along with the world and the flesh, are constantly working to keep us off that same path of the way of the cross. And so as we look to temptation and the nature of temptation now, a central truth that we have to learn in order to resist temptation is learning to recognize it in our hearts and lives. To recognize what the goal of temptation is and who is behind it. Because Satan is clever and subtle and malicious. If he cannot keep us from becoming believers in Jesus, he will do everything he can to keep us from growing in grace, keep us from the way of the cross of Jesus, to ensure that God is dishonored in our lives. He's trying to knock us off that narrow path that is the way of the cross. If you have never read The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, it's a modern masterpiece about spiritual warfare. A satirical book where an elder demon is counseling a younger demon of how to tempt his subject, the person. How to knock him off the way of Jesus. And it's been a while since I've read it, so as I was studying this week, it became higher on my list of to-reads. But I highly recommend it. It's one for us to keep going back to as believers. To understand the devil and his ways, to understand what he's trying to do. That he's trying to knock us off the way of the cross. He's trying to knock us off the way of Jesus. And so when we experience temptation in our lives, that's actually a sign for us that we are going the way of Jesus. That we're on that narrow path. If you're being tempted, know that there's a force behind that is deeply unhappy with the direction that you're going and trying to undermine you. Someone whose lifestyle is already on the broad path and aligned with the forces of the world, the flesh and the devil, and their aims. That person does not need to be tempted towards those things. They just do it automatically. Someone who is very happy in their sin and living in the world's ways doesn't experience temptation. It's only when you repent and set your life on a different path that Satan's aims are to knock you off that path. And if you never experience temptation in your life, perhaps it's a sign to you that you're not following the path of Jesus, that you're not walking in the way of the cross. That's why it's so important for us to have our eyes fixed upon Jesus, fixed upon the way of the cross, that life of repentance and self-denial and humility and faith that looks to Him as our only Savior. So that we continually, on that path, learn more and more about ourselves, learn more and more about what temptation is going to look like in this season of life. How would the devil look at you and say, where this person is, this is my strategy for trying to knock them down? Because most likely, you and I, most of us are not tempted to murder. But are you tempted to have contempt for others? Are you tempted to harbor hatred in your heart? Maybe you're at the stage of life where you're not really tempted to adultery or pornography. But are you ever tempted to use other people for your own gain? Maybe you're never tempted to steal or to shoplift. But are you tempted to take shortcuts to your own ends more than staying on the narrow path that God desires for you? For those of us who are in Christ, who are striving for that narrow path, it's not the big sins we generally need to look out for. Yeah, I'm going to counsel you to not murder people, and I'm going to counsel you to not steal. I hope that's a given. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit idolatry. Great, we got that out of the way. Now, think about the little ways. The little ways that Satan is trying to get at you, to knock you off the path of Jesus. Because spiritual warfare is more often a death by a thousand cuts than it is a mighty battle. It's the little ways that the devil will slowly and subtly try to take us off course that we need to be mindful of when we're walking in the way of Jesus. And temptations are Satan's efforts to bring us down, but they are also always God's opportunities for claiming victory. Every temptation can be an opportunity for the victory of Christ in your life and in my life. They can be opportunities for us to choose again for the way of the cross, to choose again for the lordship of Jesus in our lives, and to become, in that choice, a little bit more deeply formed in the image of Christ. Take a few steps forward along the way of the cross. And through overcoming temptation, which the Lord in His mercy allows us to experience, as the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, the Spirit wanted Jesus there. The Father had Jesus there for a purpose. The Father has you in your life, in your circumstances, there for a purpose. And He gives the devil some lead on his leash to tempt you. And the prayer is that those temptations will be an opportunity for you to grow in grace, for you to grow in the victory. And God is always faithful to us in the midst of this. His Spirit is with us. His strength is for us. And He will never leave us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." And God is faithful. He will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God allows temptations in our lives so that we might grow in grace. We might grow in that experience of overcoming with Jesus. and in his strength and walking the way of the cross. Because the way of the cross will always include temptation. So we can claim the victory over temptation just as Jesus did by responding how he did. And I'm going to close by briefly looking through these things. That we can stand firm in the face of temptation by first walking in the Spirit, second, by being filled with the Word of God, and third, by being steadfast in our purposes. This is how Jesus responded, and this is how we want to. So briefly, we can walk in the Spirit. We're told in the opening verses of Luke 4 that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and it was the Spirit that led him there into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God himself that fills us when we are in Christ, the Spirit is a refuge for us, a defense for us, and the means by which we can be sheltered under the shadow of his wings. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper, our advocate, our comforter. We can call upon the Spirit for help when we are facing temptation. When you feel temptation come at you and crowd out the thoughts of your heart and mind, call out to the Holy Spirit for help. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead me back into Christ. Lead me back into the way of the cross. Shore me up in the grace that you have given to me. Help me, Holy Spirit. There's always a prayer that we can pray. Secondly, Jesus was filled with the Word of God. And we overcome temptation by being filled with the Word of God, knowing Scripture, being in it daily, memorizing it and meditating on it so that it shapes and trains us, forming our souls, forming our minds. We're told that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, that Scripture is a weapon in our spiritual warfare. And when you are tempted, speak Scripture back to the devil. Remember that he knows it better than you do. He has Scripture memorized more than you ever will. But for us, by knowing the bigger story of Scripture, knowing the end that it's pointing towards, which is our everlasting life and joy in Christ in glory, by walking the way of the cross and experiencing that death and resurrection with Christ, that's what all of Scripture is pointing toward. And so when we see and know all of Scripture through that lens, we can overcome temptation through the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Thirdly, Christ was steadfast in his purpose. He would not be deterred off of his mission. Knowing what he is here for, knowing what direction he was going toward the cross. And so may we be so steadfast in our purpose, knowing what we're here for, knowing what direction we are going towards heaven, that we might be steadfast in our purpose as redeemed children of God who belong to his kingdom, seeking to glorify him in our lives. If you don't have a solid purpose for your life that keeps you steady on a straight path, you're going to be so much more susceptible to be knocked to and fro. But let us be a people who walk steadfastly in the way of the cross, as Jesus did before us, that way of repentance, that way of self-denial, the way of humility, of going to the cross so that I might be crucified with Christ and raised with him to new life. So by his grace, by his Holy Spirit, we can learn to understand the temptations that come our way more and more so that we can more quickly give them to Jesus. And I want to encourage each one of us in this season of Lent especially, but in all of our lives, that when temptations come, that we might train ourselves to step back and analyze that temptation. Okay, where's that coming from? Is that of me? Is that of the Lord, or is that of Satan? And to quickly give it to the cross, give it to Christ, that he might nail it to the cross. And in all these things, we overcome simply by clinging to Jesus. Clinging to Jesus, who has walked the way before us, to ask for his help and his grace to keep on the narrow path, to know that he is with us in every temptation to help us and lead us to victory when we cling to him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you have walked this path before us. That you have been tempted in every way as we are, and yet you overcame. And so we pray, Lord, for the grace to follow in your steps, to follow in your path, to let our lives go the way of the cross and denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following after you. Help us to stand firm against temptation in every form. Help us to know, each one of us, what forms temptation comes to us and what we're susceptible to, that we might desire more and more your glory, that we might desire more and more your ways, more and more your freedom and the life that you have offered to us in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the